This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I got a question about the Golden State Warriors. Do you want to see Kevin Durant come back in this series against Toronto? It's likely that he will. I know he's ruled out for game one, but you know, I can't imagine he's... This injury is amazing to me that it went from, yeah, maybe he'll come back in game six against the Rockets, to he hasn't played at all in the since that moment in game five where he landed awkwardly. And now he's going to be out for game one coming up on Thursday night. But let's say he does get healthy enough to come back. Or do you like this Warriors team as it is and think that, I don't know, there's something about that is just more enjoyable than watching Durant play, even though Durant was the best player in the postseason leading up until the point of his injury. Do you want to see the Warriors at their very best? And what exactly is their very best? Because they certainly look good now. Look, you can go down the road of the Warriors are playing better. Maybe that's might be a stretch. They look better. They look more fun. Doesn't mean they're better. I mean, Kevin Durant off the court, Kevin Durant not playing, that's Durant is not not something you say, well, his relevance isn't a factor. It is a factor. He's one of the best players in basketball. It's just that Golden State looks more fluid when he's not on the court. There's a different offense when he plays, and there is a different offense when he doesn't. But if you look at Toronto and they have and if they're going to win this series, as good and fun as Golden State is looking right now, man, they're looking great. I mean, they just rolled through Portland in four games and did so in which they trailed in three of the games by 17 points, going at one point in the second half by 17 points in the last three games of that series. But if you're Toronto, the team you want to prepare for is the team that they have now. The team you don't want to prepare for is the one that has Durant at their disposal. Because at least with defensively, you can get Kawhi Leonard, who's one of the best defenders in the NBA, in something that can slow down the pick and rolls, especially if he can really attack Draymond Green offensively. But if Durant plays, this is going to be quick. But if he doesn't, there might be something interesting in these NBA finals. All right, coming up, what Joey Porter said about Ben Roethlisberger and more Steelers trouble next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio. I wish we had soap opera music for every time I have a Steelers story to do. Like As the World Turns or Days of Our Lives or... What was the one that was really popular? General Hospital. Because I feel like it's a soap opera with the Steelers every single time they're in the news. You know why they're in the news all the time now? Because it's open season on Ben Roethlisberger. It's open season on Ben Roethlisberger because Antonio Brown demanded to be traded because he didn't like the quarterback anymore. So now Joey Porter, who once played for the Steelers and was once a coach with the Steelers, also has taken shots. They asked him about Roethlisberger and he says, it's clear he has the power and how he uses it. He uses it for him. You want your locker room to love you, he said. And clearly, Ben Roethlisberger is not loved by his teammates. So here we are, as the world turns with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Since Ben Roethlisberger has frittered away one of the top wide receivers in the NFL by throwing him under the bus like he likes to do. Now it's open season on his leadership and his quality of play and anything else that goes on the minds of Big Ben. The Steelers continue to fall apart as everybody's taking their shots. This once proud franchise has now been reduced to just everybody taking an open fire on whether or not Ben Roethlisberger is even a halfway decent human being. Which he probably isn't, but nevertheless, he's their franchise quarterback, and that's what he has. Oh, God. Michael David Smith at ProFootballTalk.com gives an example about how John Elway once lobbied for non-contact drills, was cited by Terrell Davis, who said, John used to do this all the time. He used to lobby for non-contact drills for the players, because not only for himself, he didn't get caught hit in practice, but he noticed that his teammates could use that break, could use not getting beat up in practice. And Elway, because he had power within the organization, used it for the benefit of his teammates and the good for the team. And Roethlisberger, on the other hand, is using it for his greedy, selfish self. Le'Veon Bell gone, Antonio Brown gone. How long before other Steeler organizations and the organization take their shots at Ben Roethlisberger? We shall see as the world turns, as the Steel City turns in Pittsburgh. Joey Porter. I don't know. He's kind of disgruntled, though. He got, I think he got let go from the team. Speaking of soap opera, what was the soap opera? General Hospital. Is that the one with Luke and Laura from like the 80s?
I haven't a clue, man.
Okay. I'll tell you how I know this. When
because
I was a
you
kid,
watched The Price is Right and it led into that.
Yep, exactly. But yep. When I was a kid, I I've said this many times, I didn't have cable until late 80s. Right? We were very late to the cable game. But I'd stay home from school sick, which was a lot. Sometimes I was faking. A lot of times I was really sick. But my mother would have soap operas on because it was really only thing on television, over-the-air antenna. And I remember I was watching, I was a little kid, and there was General Hospital's on. There was a guy on there, and it was Luke and Laura. They were like these main characters. They got married or they were dating or whatever it was. So anyway, years later, right? I mean, I'm talking years later. I'm an adult. I got a family of my own. I got kids. And I'm at the gym. And I'm running on the treadmill. And it's in the afternoon. And sure enough, General Hospital comes on. Okay? The same guy is playing the same character on the show. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's been doing that for 30-something years. Is that the kind of gig? When you do soap operas, do you go, that's it, I'm out. I can't do anything else. This is what I got to do now. I got to do these things because this is, why can't you get out of that and go 30 something years playing the same character? And apparently it happens all the time. So I started asking my acting friends, people who know the business a little bit. I go, is that common? They go, oh God, it's common. Yes, it is common. Yep. Sure enough. They say those people play that role forever. I go, I'm sure the money's great. Don't get me wrong. It's money's great. But don't you hear all these actors sometimes going, oh, you know, I just got to get out of the sitcom world. I want to go to movies. I want to do this. I want to do open theater. I want to get out of that. I want to go try my art somewhere else. I want to play troubling characters. I want to play different kind of characters. I want to play a villain. I want to play a funny guy. And the soap opera actor's like, nah, I'll play the same guy for 30 years until it almost becomes a part of me because who I am. I mean, I literally, from a little kid, from me being a little kid, like elementary school, to being an adult trying to lose weight on a treadmill because age has gotten the best of me, that guy's been going to work at the same studio, making the same show, doing the same character for 30 plus years.
Well, here's a little background on the Luke Spencer and Laura Weber wedding. Was General Hospital.
They were on cover of TV Guide and stuff.
Yeah, it aired November 16th, 1981.
Okay, see, that's ridiculous to me.
And was watched by 30 million viewers. That episode.
Oh, my God.
Making it the highest rated hour in American soap opera history.
I mean, that's an insane amount of people for television, for a soap opera. That's an insane amount of people.
Now... little background on the origin of their relationship. I'm taking this straight from Wikipedia, so you know it's true.
Okay.
Despite having been raped by a drunken Luke.
Oh, good Lord.
Laura falls in love with him.
She falls in love with the guy who raped her?
Yeah.
And that's some soap opera show?
You know what? That's how it
Somebody
works.
Wrote that?
Somebody wrote that.
Somebody wrote that? Thought that would be a good storyline for a soap opera?
Yeah.
That's horrific.
Maybe in the late 90s.
Yeah, maybe in the late 90s, that was just a thing.
So their characters, the duration of their characters, they lasted from 79 to 84.
Okay.
Then again from 93 to 2002, and then they made appearances in 06, 08, 13, and 15.
Okay, it was about 08, I think, is when I saw him when I was at the gym. It's about 08. So that's a really long time, man. That is a really long time. That's a long time to play the same role.
Couples often referred to as L&L.
I remember that being a big deal. Like, I remember that being a big deal. Yeah, because I was a very observant child staying home from school.
I'm with you. I do remember that being a big deal as well. Just, yeah. I never would have thought it was 30 million viewers big deal, but I guess it was.
And I was home from school a lot because I used to, you know, fake headaches and didn't want to go. Wanted to sleep a little bit. So that was kind of my thing when I was a kid. My mother used to get really frustrated because I used to say I was sick, and she goes like, "All right, you ain't doing anything. Like, don't even think about playing anything. You just lay in bed all day, not going anywhere." I'm like, "Okay." Then I want to, like, my friends would come home from school and I want to hang out with them. She's like, you sit right there and don't do anything." I'm like, "Okay." But then that means I had to watch like game shows. That's why I love game shows so much, because it's the only thing on TV. It was all I had. That, PBS, and soap operas was the only thing I had on TV.
Oh, God. I'm reading.
What a shameful childhood.
If you want to have some fun, you guys out there, after the show, go ahead and just read the storyline.
Right. It's awful.
I wish, you know, I almost want to pull up the soap opera music again. I mean, I'm reading this. I mean, this paragraph is probably one of the most well-written paragraphs by anyone I've ever read.
Yeah, didn't they kill a guy and then go on the run?
Well, no, it starts off with, you know, teenage Laura is dating a guy named Scott, who is known as Scotty. Then Laura is seduced by the much older David Hamilton, who's trying to plot revenge against her mother. Because this happens, Scotty breaks up with Laura and begins an affair with a former prostitute, now nurse. I mean, who?
God!
How do you even come to that conclusion in a soap opera? It's like, you know, let's just, Scott's going to have an affair with a prostitute, but, you know, let's make her a nurse now so that way it's wholesome.
That writing for a soap opera must be one of those, I got to pull my hair out and just want to jump out of a building kind of jobs. Because I got to come up with stuff every day.
So after Scott starts dating the prostitute, now nurse, Laura discovers the truth about David. Remember, David was the one who was just seducing her just to get revenge? So she accidentally kills him.
Oh, well done.
And she's
well
put
done,
on,
writers.
She's put on probation for David's death. And then she rekindles her relationship with Scotty. They get engaged. So I don't know what happened with Bobby, the prostitute, now nurse. She fell in love with Scotty's older brother.
Oh, this is great.
And then somehow Laura discovers this and ends up in a, they slept together because Scotty got drunk.
Did people actually talk about these? Like they were,
this had to be water cooler talk,
like,
right?
Real water cooler talk. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So I mean, this is fantastic. And I guess Scotty and Laura had gotten married.
Well, it's amazing that there's, like, in this day and age, it's amazing that they're still making them, that they're still on. Like, my wife tells me, she goes, "Well, they're not really on anymore." I go, "Oh, really?" Because it's...
You know what? Every once in a while, I'll catch myself watching The Price is Right, and...
Something will pop up?
Yeah, Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives are still to go. I don't know if General Hospital is still on.
Yeah.
But this must be the peak. I mean, this is amazing.
30 million people is a lot of 30. People. I mean, 30 million people, and that's a tremendous amount of people to watch an episode of anything.
During the daytime.
That's,
that's the thing to think about there is during the daytime, middle of the day, I guess that would be all housewives?
I'm thinking, yeah. Most people are working and watching that show.
That's amazing.
I mean, like, think about this. The Super Bowl is like 100 plus million, right? That's a third. It's close to a third of the Super Bowl audience for a daytime show where most people are at a place of business. That's a really good percentage of the people that have TVs on.
Seinfeld's final episode was viewed by 80. Well, I mean, what we were just talking about this week. Wouldn't like 18 million people watch the final of Game of Thrones or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I mean, that doesn't even come close to
good
soap
numbers.
Opera.
That's true. Very true. Good point. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron, and then spell it with two N's, please. I wonder how many people go Ron with one N and then really get somebody else. But
I don't know.
I
should friend that guy.
Yeah, you should. You should tell him.
Hey, do you ever get people looking for me?
You ever get my mail?
Can you, you ever get my mail?
Exactly.
Can you forward it on to me, please?
Oh, goodness. All right, it's SB Nation Radio. I want to talk a little of the auto racing coming up. Just a quick touch on the auto racing, the Indy 500 especially, when we come back. SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I had the Indy 500 on Sunday. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. Ron, you and I talked about this. It's sort of lost a lot of its grand appeal that it has.
I didn't even flip it on.
And I'm just, it's just not, I'm not as familiar with a lot of the drivers. I mean, I know like Will Power is a name I recognize, and that's, you know, that's pretty much, there's a couple of, you know, Graham Rahal's and Andretti's and all that stuff. Of course I know them.
Yeah, well, you just know the last name. You know, you don't know. I mean, we talked about this on Friday, like some of the guys who were driving. The only person I really knew, Elio Castroneves, because he's won it before.
Elio Castroneves, right.
And then there was another guy, a Brazilian guy. And I say, I've already forgotten his name.
Joseph Newgarden is a, I think it's Joseph Newgarden is a guy that he's like from Tennessee. So he's always on my TV. So, but I don't know him. I mean, I don't root for him or anything, but like they always bring him up in the local news, right? Newgarden from wherever he's from in Tennessee. So they make it a big deal. But nevertheless, so the Indy 500 has lost a little bit of its major, ABC, big name, big event type of appeal. But Sunday's race was won by Simon Pagenaud by 0.2 seconds over Alexander Rossi. It's one of the closest finishes in Indy 500 history. But you know one of the reasons that Pagenaud won this race? Because Rossi, when he was in the getting fuel at lap 137, his pit team took way too long to fuel his car. It took nearly 20 seconds in the pit stop. Fuel takes about 6 to fill the car. And his pit stops took 20 seconds. Think about this when you think about how long, how the rate, 0.2 seconds was the winning margin. And he spent 13 to 14 seconds longer in the pit stall than needed to be. Can you imagine how angry
you'd
be? So
basically what you're saying is someone's getting fired.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it's absolutely inexcusable.
Can it be called Black Tuesday, I guess?
Yeah, right? Where they go, okay, so it was a complete and utter disastrous pit stop. I mean, you pull in there. I mean, it's amazing how fuel gets put into those cars so quickly. It's like in NASCAR, those gas cans. It's like a vacuum. It's like sucks it all into that car. And you got to do that quick. I mean, the pressure on these guys, I don't think it's talked about enough in terms of in motorsports. How if your job is to change one tire, you better not screw up. You can't screw up. It's just hard to overcome.
Now, don't Indy cars? They only have the one lug nut, right?
Yeah, there's one gigantic
lug nut to keep that tire on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not like NASCAR, we got 5 or 6.
You ever been needing to get somewhere quickly and you're almost there? Like, you have to get, like, you like trying to be on time for work, or you're trying to be on time for an appointment or whatever, and you're almost there, but somebody's driving too slow, or there's a light that won't change, or too many people are turning, and you just get frustrated. Just that little bit of frustration sets in. I wouldn't call it road rage, but just enough. You just go, come on, move! Like, you just, because you got to get somewhere really quick.
Yep.
Like, okay, the driver of this IndyCar, Alexander Rossi, who came in second, he gets to the pit stall, and the pit stall, he's in his head, he's like, okay, 5, 6, 7 seconds tops.
When it gets to 10 and 11 and 12 and 15 and 18 and 19, he must be losing his mind knowing that how much time he's losing on the race that he can't make up. Like, you can't make up you can't make up 20 seconds. No, it almost did.
And that's got to be, I mean, it's got to be frustrating. I mean, we're talking literally, I mean, we could probably sit here, we can count 20 seconds, you know, very quickly here. But I mean, if you're, if you're sitting there just going like, come on, guys.
Remember we were talking about like the guy who, the kid, the high school killer who's running 9 point something seconds, right? And I remember how I told you my son was telling me, he's like, no, like, 1 second, forget it. Like that's an eternity. Oh, yeah. Like, that's an eternity. Like, to take 1 second off your time on a 100 meter dash time, that's, forget it.
I mean, and that looks like a blowout. I mean, when you think about, I don't know if it was during the Olympics. There's a, you know, the infamous photo of Usain Bolt running and he's kind of looking at the camera smiling.
Yeah.
He's literally only, I mean, there's a huge separation between him and the rest of the pack. And he's probably maybe, you know, what, half a second ahead of him, if that.
Right.
I mean, not even that.
This guy lost by 0.2 seconds. 0.2 seconds. Now, that's the difference between, seriously, in the history books of racing for this race, or just being another second place finisher. And he can literally blame his team. He could literally say, I would have won this race. I would be drinking milk, kissing the bricks. I would have hoisted the trophy if my stupid pit crew team didn't screw up giving us fuel at lap 137, 60 laps away from the finish line.
And how do you, how do you mess that up?
My driving talent almost overcame the ineptitude of my team, my massive successful driving ability that I have garnered over the years almost overcame this, but we didn't win, and now I'm blaming my pit crew. It's just what a hard job that's got to be. I remember when I used to go to NASCAR races, and I used to have the hot pass. I used to be on the pit row area. I used to like watching pit crews because it was an orchestra. It was like amazing how they did that. It was like a fine ballet. They were so in tune. And I'm watching that going, there's no room for error.
No.
None. Like, you can't.
I mean, none. I guess the only time you can almost be a little more relaxed is under caution.
Yeah, right? You know, exactly. When everybody comes in.
They all seem to pit under caution. You're just like, all right, well, we still got to be fast, but we don't have to be, you know, under 10 seconds fast. You guys can take your time. Go to 12 seconds.
So I started thinking, like, if you were a guy, you were a kid, and you were moving up the ranks of a pit crew, that first time, no matter how often you practice, that first time you have the gun, the changing the wheel gun, right? The first day. Like, you've been practicing, you've kind of moved up. Maybe you were the gas can holder, and then you moved up to gas can guy, and then you moved up. But nevertheless,
then you moved up to putting tire on guy.
Exactly.
You don't get the gun just yet. That'd be the high priority, right?
Right, that would be the high priority. But that day you get it, right? You get the air gun. You're standing there, and they're like, yeah, we're going to come in four tires and around a wedge on right. And you're just sitting there going, oh boy, oh no. Here it comes. Oh no.
How many of them since the movie Cars came out ever hold the gun up and go, pit stop.
Anyway, I thought it was great. I mean, I did catch the end when he won. I thought it was exciting. And, you know, I wasn't following the whole race. It was just something that was on my TV as I was going in and out of the house. But I did catch the last part, and that was really cool. Like, it reminds me of fun. Auto racing can be pretty awesome when it's like that. It can be really, really cool when it's like that. It's a hard sport to follow, like, day in and day out. But, man, when it gets down on those first couple laps, and he's like holding him back. Like, he's trying really hard, like, back and forth, and he's just trying to pass him, and I'm thinking, these guys are going 200 miles an hour, and they're basically playing chicken. Like you go up, I'll go up, you go down, I'll go down, you go up, I'll go down, and then they make it to the finish line. So
trying to get that slingshot.
Just get that slingshot going around. Wild. Absolutely wild finish. So, all right, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, more on the NBA Finals starting on Thursday night in Toronto. The city of Toronto is celebrating, but we'll do the good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up next as well on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've had a good long weekend. Now it's time to get back at it. So let's start with the good.
The good of the day. This came down late last week. I don't know. We never really talked about Ted Ginn challenging everyone, right?
No, we did not.
We didn't talk about him trying to figure out who the fastest man in the NFL was. So he threw down, I can't remember who he challenged first. He threw down a challenge to one particular person, I can't remember, and wanted to see, you know, just challenge him to a race, find out who the fastest player in the NFL was.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Since that moment has happened, a number of players have signed up, and they're going to have a 40-yard sprint off, I guess.
Oh, are they?
So something for all of us to look forward to. I mean, you have certain names. I mean, Ted Ginn will definitely be partaking because he claims to be the fastest. And this actually came about right around the time that we're talking about that high school kid.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Because everyone's talking about speed, and so Ted Ginn's going to be a part of it. I think Alvin Kamara's going to be part of it. Mark Ingram, some of the other players' names are escaping me. But
no kidding.
I'm kind of excited for this. This reminds me of back in the day when I'm part of the Pro Bowl celebration. Was always finding out who the fastest person was, and it was always Darryl Green.
Yeah, that's right. It was Darryl Green. I remember that. It
never was anybody else. Right. It was always him.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Can we get Dion to come back to it?
Yeah, let's see. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, Dion would be good.
Dion would be a lot of fun to watch, right?
Or Ronaldo Nehemiah. Remember him? He was a hurdler that played for the San Francisco 49ers.
There you go.
Olympic hurdler. So, yeah, that would be good.
No, I think it'd be that would definitely be definitely worth watching.
Yeah, that's really true.
Here's some of the other players. Tariq Cohen.
Okay.
Robbie Anderson, Jacoby Ford, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Corey Coleman. We got Trey Waynes, cornerback from the Redskins. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, cornerback for the Redskins.
Not bad.
Safety Budda Baker and Titans safety Kevin Byard. Is it Byard or Byard?
Byard.
So, yeah. Told you.
That's great.
So and they have the tournament. They just got the, you know, they need to get the seeding correct. Then this will be entertaining.
That would be entertaining. I like that.
This is straight
like
up.
That.
Just a straight
right,
up.
That is a good. That's a very good. I like that. Good.
Should be fine. Hopefully, you know. Guess they need to start it before training camp, right? Because this is probably something that's taboo.
That's very true. Right.
Training camp. So
yeah. I'll give it that.
So that's I guess something to look forward to.
All right. Very good. All right. So we got the bad now.
The bad, yeah, we have a serious issue.
Uh-oh.
Two green baby anacondas were recently born in an all-female exhibit at the New England Aquarium in Boston, making them biological celebrities due to the fact that they were created without fertilization from a male snake.
All right, in layman's terms, what do we got here?
In layman's terms, we have this.
If there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but life finds a way.
Wow! We're gonna die?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean, if two female snakes all of a sudden spontaneously have a couple of babies.
All right, so they didn't have a male snake kicking around.
No.
And they still went, got it.
Yeah.
That's no all right.
We'll take care of this ourselves. We must breed. We must procreate.
Oh, my goodness. That is so scary.
Yeah, it's known, I guess, as a virgin birth. There's an actual term for it, but I'm going to attempt it. Parthenogenesis.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's very rare. Of course, it's rare. You know, just spontaneously having kids.
Did they know this could happen? did science go, well, it could happen, but Like, we've never seen it operational.
Do I need to play the clip again?
Yeah, right.
We know Dr. Ian Malcolm is a genius. We know this. And he's a real man, by the way.
That's right. Remember when we did the – hold on. Hold your hand up. Yeah. It goes backwards. See? That's essence of chaos. Yeah, right.
This is the very definition of chaos.
Very definition of chaos.
You know, life finds a way.
My favorite scene in that movie is when he gets out of the car to save the kids, and they go, Ian, freeze! And he goes, get the kids! And he's running from the dinosaur. And he's thrown.
Now, knowing this happens, will men become extinct? Maybe that's the larger issue. Is that the larger picture?
Okay, we're coming back to the larger implications of the fact that these two female snakes said, no men allowed here. We'll have eggs, no problem. Does that mean that we? Oh yeah, good point.
They don't need us, and I believe did I read this right? We don't know what the sex of the babies are.
True. At least
that hasn't been made to my knowledge yet. But
nevertheless, that is not only a bad. That's a very scary bad. Where we're heading?
Yeah, Only the second known confirmed case for green anacondas to do this.
Oh, wow. Oh, I got a quick question about Jurassic Park. And I don't know why I'm asking you, but I'm kind of throwing it out there.
All right.
That Michael Crichton book that he wrote about, is that science about how the dinosaurs came around? Is that science legit and they haven't been able to do it? Or is that just phony science that could never happen?
I believe that they probably could do it. They just haven't. Maybe there's something missing.
Yeah, because I'm wondering.
I figured they did because they cloned sheep. It's the same thing as cloning, right?
Kind of, right?
Kind of take blood and then breed them.
Right, but they took. But see, I always thought like, oh, he's onto something scientifically. They just haven't found an ancient mosquito with blood of a dinosaur.
Oh no, I think preserved. I think they have that.
They do. Why aren't we making triceratops?
They've said that. They found like fully preserved woolly mammoths.
Got it.
Right?
Okay.
Frozen. I remember reading about this.
So they can make a woolly mammoth.
They can make a woolly mammoth because they have the hair of the woolly mammoth.
Right.
And so they can make a woolly mammoth from hair. Now, I think they would have to breed it with – it wouldn't be like 100% woolly mammoth because they'd have to breed it with an elephant because it has to cook somewhat.
Right.
But, I figure they'd do it with an elephant. It's like similar, close enough.
Where's the other Jeff Goldblum clip when he goes, you were too busy deciding whether or not you could. You decided whether or not you should.
Exactly.
Like, where's that clip?
That's the next one.
Why isn't that going in people's heads?
That's the next one when they do start breeding dinosaurs. Right now, we just have two female snakes getting it on and having a baby.
See, I'm surprised like with that there's not a scientist that goes, you know what? I made an AI robot that will just kill humans for no reason whatsoever just to see if I could do it. And I did it. Here you go. And welcome to the world. Like, they're just doing these things. Science is just doing stuff. And, like, people are like, why are you doing that? Like, well, I don't know. Why wouldn't we do that? I don't know. Don't. All right. Now we got snakes breeding on their own. Great. I feel like there's a sci-fi movie coming about this.
Yeah. Will it be Snakes on the Plane 2?
Well, if that's your bad, I can't. Yeah, Snakes on the Plane 2, right. I can't wait to see what the dumb is now.
The dumb is just an ongoing story. And I don't even know. I don't even know what to think of this anymore. But Urban Meyer.
Once again, my favorite personality in all of sports.
I know we've talked about this before where he's being heavily recruited by Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. In case Clay Helton is to be fired.
Or when Clay Helton is going to be fired.
I was giving him hope.
Right.
But he was asked recently whether or not he'll coach again. He gave a weird answer and just finished off with, I think I'm done.
He's so amazing how he does this.
I think I'm done.
He's so amazing. I remember when he left Florida. And I remember, like, he's going back to coach, and they're like, "No, he's serious. He's sick. He has health problems." I go, yep. "No, he doesn't. Why are you buying this? Why are you buying this scam that he can't coach because his blood pressure's too high, or doctors have told him it could kill him early. Why are you buying this scam? This is what he does. He doesn't want to be at a place. There's something about it that ticks him off. He leaves, and then he does it in the most sympathetic way possible. And then after a while, he'll go, nah, I just, you know, I'm a coach, and if I die doing this, I die doing this, and that's what I got to do with my life. I got to go coach.
So here's the quote. In a conversation he was having with Columbus dispatch Bill Rabinowitz, who always, I mean, rose to fame because he's covers the Buckeyes all year long. He said, I learned my lesson long ago. All I'm going to say is I believe I'm done. I think I'm done. I think I'm done.
So it does give him an opportunity to go,
of course
I'm not
it
done.
Does.
Yeah, I'm not done.
I mean, I guess he has.
And USC would be a great place to go.
He has an arachnoid cyst on his brain that can get worse in heated situations. I guess it intensifies when he's yelling.
Wow. So wouldn't you understand if you
find a way to coach without yelling?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Shouldn't be too hard, right?
If you were a Florida fan, let's say, and Urban Meyer left the Gators, and then a year later he went to go coach, like, CSU Pueblo, right? You'd be like, okay, he wants to coach, but he's doing it at a much lower level. Right? He's doing it at a much lower level, which is fine. He can't get rid of it. It's part of his blood, but he's not going to a major. He went from one incredibly stressful job to an even more stressful job at Ohio State. And now there's a possibility he could go to USC if Clay Helton is let go. And we're going to have that conversation with this guy. This is the third time he's pulled this scam. What's he doing?
No, he's going to be the next coach at USC.
Yeah, I know he will.
I mean, I have hope that Clay Helton can make it through the season. But, you know, there's the Pac-12 is hurting. They need something to give. And all eyes will probably look to USC because of, you know, recent history.
And he'll do that. He'll do that thing where he gets on the podium and goes, "This is just something in my heart I had to do. It was gnawing at me." And then he'll make a joke about how his wife Shelly, like, you know, I was hanging around the house, and that, you know, Shelly's getting a little tired of me just not doing anything. Yep. Yeah, we get it, Coach. Did you just take the speech you gave at Ohio State and just change the wording around?
I mean, honestly, he should just do that, right?
Just might as well.
Like, why not?
He's probably
just
preparing for it right now. He's probably sitting with his closest advisor going, and then you know what I'll do? I'll talk about how my kids just said, Dad, you're a coach. You should coach. And I'll write that in there, too. God, this guy. I'm sorry I get frustrated.
You think he changes it, though? It's like, and 14-year-old Tommy told me.
Right? Oh, wait. Scratch that. Put in something different. Tommy's now a junior in college. Let's change that up a little bit. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, so.
And then if he goes, and I'm really excited to be here in Columbus. I mean, Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Scratch that out right now.
I mean, I'm more worried about, you know, the eradication of males in on planet Earth, but Urban Meyer.
Right.
Urban Meyer will probably come back and coach.
Urban Meyer will find a way.
Urban Meyer.
He can't wait to coach the AI robots. He'll be taking over athletics in about 20 years.
That's right.
There you go.
I made this robot to be just like Reggie Bush.
I can't wait till Urban comes back to coaching in whatever facet they may be. Just a little bit more interesting. I didn't, you know, after a while at Ohio State, I was like, all right, fine. You wanted to go back to coaching. You coach in Ohio State. You're leading him to national championships. But he pulls this USC thing off.
He's
if he does
to,
go to USC, if he pulls
to,
it off,
as a country, we just need to accept it and embrace it right now.
Yep,
just embrace
that's very
it.
True.
And that embrace way, if he it. Doesn't do it, we'll be shocked.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And I think we would be shocked if all of a sudden you just decide. I mean, he wasn't going to come back and coach if the position opens up and he's like, "Oh no, guys, I told you, I'm retired." That would
right.
I think that would blow us in mind. We'd be like, "Wait, what?" You're
yep.
not coming back to coach USC? This doesn't make any sense to me.
It does not. Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday as we come back from the long weekend. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Yo. You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, I saw this story that's good, at least, a good story on Deadspin. This missing hiker that was found alive in Hawaii.
Yeah.
After 17 days.
17 days.
17 days. And the story is, what's interesting is that the her friends or concerns for her whereabouts began. They had her found her car, and her car had her water bottle, wallet, and phone inside, which means she didn't have any of that stuff in the jungle. Or the forest, whatever it's called. Yeah. Is it jungle of Hawaii or forest of Hawaii?
Forest.
That's the same thing.
Jungle, that's the same, you know, right. It's similar.
Just want to make sure. I think jungle, I think like Amazon.
Well, I mean, it is tropics.
It is very true. She survived off various insects, plants, and fruits that she recognized. See, I don't have this skill at all, man.
Well, here's a quick tip for all you hikers out there. If you're hiking off through the forest, a lot of them might be... might taste bad, but there are no poisonous fruits in Hawaii.
Oh, there isn't?
No, because there's no invasive predators.
Oh, that's true.
So most of the fruit that you have, I mean, you just got to wait for it to ripen. And some of it may not sit well in your stomach, but, you know, all of them are not poisonous.
Good for her, though. 17 days and stayed alive and kept her wits and found a way to get found. Good for her. That's a great story.
If you're going to get lost in a forest, that's probably the best place to do it because it rains every day, so you always have a fresh supply of water.
That's true, and you're right. If there's no poisonous fruits, you can just eat anything you see, and you're going to be fine.
Just got to be careful of the bugs, I guess.
Ugh. Yeah, I guess the bugs drive you nuts. But she was sunburned and smiling after 17 days. That is a very good story.